All right, so this evening's service is now the feast and celebration, and we'll also be singing a couple hymns out of your red hymn book. So those are the two things that you will need with you today. We're going to begin with the order of confession and forgiveness, which is found in the backs of your booklets. It's Appendix A. I realize I forgot to write down what page that's on.
I think it's in the beginning.
Is it in the beginning in your books? In my book, it's on the end.
Page two.
Look at that. That's like brilliant that they put it in the beginning.
In the presider book, I have to dig for it.
Get back.
All right, well, first, let's just take a moment, deep breath, ground ourselves in this space, giving thanks for the day that we've had together. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us confess our sin to God, who is faithful and just, and who has promised to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God,
we confess to you that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not trusted you with our whole heart. We have not loved one another in deed and truth. In your compassion, forgive our sin, and so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our light and our truth. Amen.
With joy, I proclaim to you that Almighty God, rich in mercy and abundant in love, forgives you all of your sin and grants you new life in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
We join in singing together our opening hymn. It's hymn number 717, and I invite you to please stand if you feel comfortable. Grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
We join in singing Now the Feast, which is on page 4 in your booklets.
Thank you.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious God, we thank you that your Holy Spirit renews the church in every age. Pour out your Spirit on your people. Keep us steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort us in times of trial. Defend us against all enemies of justice and righteousness. And bestow on the church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated as we now hear from our Holy Scriptures.
The first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 31. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was married to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and remember their sin no more. The second reading is from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in the sight of God by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed, and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in divine forbearance God had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that God is righteous and that God justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No. But by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God. I invite you, if you feel comfortable, please stand with me as we join in singing the gospel verse found on page 8. Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household, but the son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This is the Holy Gospel. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So many of us in the community, thanks to some amazing leaders that have been in our midst these last days, have been looking at race and privilege and trying to have some revealing conversations about that. I believe when it comes to healing and reforming race relations in this country, we have a long way to go. For far too long, privileged folk, if there's been any interest in change on our part at all, I believe we've taken a lazier route, looking to people of color to not only name the injustices that exist, but also to be the ones to do the work of shaping the way forward. White folks sit in their place of privilege and ask people of color to, in essence, do the heavy lifting. And because we can get away with it, we often choose not to wade into the deep, turbulent, and toxic waters of racism. Because then we don't have to confront the pain of it all. But as we all know, suffering doesn't just go away. Strangely enough, I see parallels between this disconnect, the disconnect that Martin Luther was fighting when he decided to speak truth to power in his context. Today, in most Lutheran churches, we are celebrating Reformation Day, a day in the year 1517 when a young Catholic monk named Martin Luther filed a complaint, if you will. Actually, there were 95 of them. And he tacked these 95 theses or complaints to the door of the church, and this was his way of speaking truth to power, but not necessarily in the way that we might expect. His 95 theses had to do with the system of indulgences. The Catholic Church of the day, which frankly was the only church at that time, had started this process where one's confession of sin, which would normally be followed by penance, right? You would confess your sin and then you'd be given a penance where you could say prayers or be given acts of charity to perform, acts of service. The idea was that there were consequences that perhaps could help you on a pathway to living more justly and rightly in the world, to kind of learn what you had done, right? Now, never mind how the church may have started to hold that over people in legalistic ways, but the idea behind it was really good. But what happened in Martin Luther's day, instead of this rhythm of confession and then penance, there was this new process of indulgences that came into play. And it went like this: if you didn't want to be bothered by the hard work of penance, and if you could afford it, You could just pay cash and receive an indulgence. And you could be free from guilt. Quick and easy for those of privilege, at any rate. And Luther was bothered by this for a whole host of reasons. One was definitely about the Pope and others in power using people's brokenness. They're fretting about sin and what the ultimate consequences that could be both in this life and the next, sort of feeding off people's brokenness so that they could get their pet projects paid for. If I was frantic about either my sin or even the sin of a loved one, I could pay money for an indulgence, and then that money would go to pay for these projects, like St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, or even giving access to the seat of bishop to a German leader desiring leadership. He could pay for that, and he could take out a loan and use people's indulgences to cover the cost of that. Things that required power and money, they found they could get the money from the people because the people didn't want to live with their guilt. Pay some money, get an indulgence, and not have to live with the things that you had done. Not a bad exchange. You didn't even have to think about it. You just pay the money, get the indulgence, done. And I think that was probably Luther's bigger concern. I mean, corrupt power needed to be addressed, yes. And money being extracted from people who already had very little, that was definitely a problem and need to be stopped. But Luther's bigger concern as a man of faith was that people were missing out on something important in the shallow exchange, namely a relationship. They were missing out on having a relationship with God, and particularly one where a person could experience the life and freedom of grace in that relationship with God. Freedom, the people say, but we've never been slaves to anyone or anything. What do you mean by saying you will be made free? These were Jesus' disciples' words to him when he talked about them being able to be made free. And the disciples' question, what do you mean, being made free? I think it was less a question of confusion, and this is where we're going to start making some connections to racism. I think the disciples' question was less about confusion and more about a state of ignorance that you and I prefer to live in. Think about that. I don't think their question, what do you mean? We've never, what are you talking about? Is not confusion, but a state of ignorance that they're choosing to live in. First off, the descendants of Abraham were totally slaves, right? We all know this story. It's like one of the biggest story arcs that actually, again and again and again, we refer back to, right? The people of Israel ended up being enslaved under Pharaoh in Egypt, and then there was that whole amazing thing where Moses rose to leadership and the Red Seas were parted and the people moved from slavery into freedom through the parting of the Red Sea, right? I mean, we know this story. The people were totally enslaved, the children of Abraham. But aside from that, Jesus points out that they have a current captor, namely sin. But I don't think the disciples wanted to stand face to face with that. Which brings me to the conversation of racism. Claire said something last night that I actually heard a couple of different teaching faculty mention over the summer about our participation in racism. Too often, Claire said, that good white folk, when they hear the label racist, they say, that's not me. I'm not a racist. I mean, I'm not mean to people of color. I have friends who are people of color. I don't tell racist jokes, and I don't think of myself as better. In essence, we're saying that's someone else's problem, racism. What do you mean? I need to be made free. Well, I don't think it means that we need I do think it means that we need to first recognize that we are being held captive. In order for us to move forward in healthy ways, we actually have to acknowledge that we perhaps do have some racist tendencies. In order for us to move forward, we need to first recognize that we are being held captive by our own ignorance. And other members of our human family are suffering because of our addiction to ignorance. You see, ignorance isn't always passive. It isn't always about our not having quite arrived at wisdom or insight just yet. Ignorance can be active and intentional, turning a blind eye and then being self-righteous about it. And by doing so, we imprison ourselves in these ivory towers and then ignore the cries coming from outside. We are captive, and we cannot free ourselves. We have sinned in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. These are the words that we speak in our confession of sin. We spoke them at the beginning of this service. We do it as part of a healing process, a liberation process, if you will, asking God for forgiveness and looking to live a better way. When Martin Luther was speaking truth to power, he not only spoke to the corrupt power of the church, but more importantly, he spoke truth to the power of sin. We are captive, and we cannot free ourselves. We harm others with our thoughts, words, and deeds, both by what we do and often more painfully by what we don't do. It is time to step out of our safety towers of imprisonment. And it's time to acknowledge the hurt that has been caused, be it by our hand or not. It doesn't matter. It is time for us to step into the deep, turbulent, and toxic waters of racism, to step in the difficult waters of sin in general, so that we can face the issues that need facing, rather than hide from them. Our healing and our wholeness depend on these acts of courage. If you know anything about Dr. Brené Brown's research on shame, you know that moving out of the prisons of the dumb stuff that we have done that can cause shame, in order to move out of these self-imposed prisons, it requires courage. And she teaches you can't have courage without being vulnerable. You can't have courage without being vulnerable. Jesus knew that. And I believe that is the Savior that Martin Luther, the pastor, wanted his people to encounter. Indulgences sort of broke down that whole conversation and removed it. He wanted people to have that interaction, to stand face to face with some of the sin that they had created in the world and actually have to process through that. Jesus says that if the Son, meaning him, makes you free, you will be free indeed. You don't get there by quick and easy solutions, be it purchasing an indulgence or by hiding away from things in a tower of ignorance. Jesus courageously walked headlong into suffering. He stepped out of safety, calling out leaders on their horrible ways. He hung out with some of the most broken and forgotten people in society, and he courageously spoke up again and again and again for what was right, to the point of making himself vulnerable, even unto death. But by doing this, he also embodied his greatest power. This is the way of Jesus, the way of the Son that Jesus talks about. And today's gospel says that if you live by him, if you live in this way, you will be free indeed. And also, will your community be free? And your neighbors will be free. And the strangers just beyond will be free. It is time for some reformation. May we be courageous enough to take part in it. Amen. Our hymn is number 709, When Our Song Says Peace. Shows us the way of justice, and with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Each petition I will conclude with, in your mercy, and you're invited to respond, hear our prayer. God, our refuge and strength, you make all things new. Reform your church so that our life together bears witness to your gracious love. Free us from sin and write the law of love on our hearts. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Reform our relationships with you, with one another, and with all creation. Restore this good earth, the home you entrust to our care. Enrich soils, cleanse waters, and purify the air. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bring an end to racism and to the broken and unjust ways that we order our societies and lives. When fear and embarrassment threaten to overwhelm us, fill us with courage and grant us your peace and strength. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Be the present help of those suffering the tumult of illness, poverty, abandonment and uncertainty. Bring your calm and healing to those in need, especially those we name silently before you now. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We remember before you those who have died, O God, and entrust them to the fullness of your love and grace. We trust your presence now, even as we wait and hope for the fullness of your justice to come. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Trusting and delighting in you, we commend all our lives into your loving hands. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us take a moment to share a word of peace with one another.
You want a piece
of
peace.
Sorry, I'm not going to say it.
Hey, Nick.
He's Mark.
He's you.
Oh, good. Continue with the offering hymn, which is found on page 10 in your booklets, As the Grains of Wheat.
Thank you.
stand as you feel comfortable as we turn to pray together the prayer found at the top of page 11. Let us pray. Merciful God, everything in heaven and earth belongs to you. We joyfully release what you have entrusted to us. May these gifts be signs of our whole lives returned to you, dedicated to the healing and unity of all creation, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Above all, we give you thanks for Jesus, born of Mary, who in word and deed announced your gentle rule of justice, reconciliation, and peace. In the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering his command to love one another, his life and his death, his resurrection and his ascension, we pray for his coming again. Send now your Holy Spirit, O God, that all of your promises may come to us and your whole creation. Empower us by that same Spirit to love and forgive, that our lives may anticipate that day when you will make all things new, so that through Christ and the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever. Amen. Make us bold, O merciful God, to address you as our Abba as we pray. Abba in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Please know that all are welcome to this table, for Jesus is the host, and it is he who invites you to come. You may be seated. Thank you.
165.
Jesus Christ bless you and keep you in his grace. Amen. We join in singing the hymn found on page 15 in your booklet. Sorry, the song in the white one. White booklet, not the red booklet. It's on page 15. Thanks be to you.
Thank you.
us pray. We give you thanks, O God, for the blessings of this table. May our lives be made new by these gifts of grace, and may your love be made known through us. Amen. Amen. Go in peace, love justice, and walk humbly. Thanks be to God. Amen.